Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to Red Men TV. It's the build-up show, Liverpool, Porto, Champions League.
Chris Pager, hi.
Hi mate.
Bit of nervous anticipation?
None whatsoever.
Wow, not thought about it yet.
Not thought about it at all. We're about to find out if I'm nervous, Paul.
Amazing. James Redmond, how are you doing?
I'm all right, you all right, Paul?
Yeah, I'm very good.
Bosh.
Ross Chanley.
Hey mate. Right.
Yeah. That's super. Chris.
I'm all right, yeah.
you know, I do things on purpose, and sometimes
it work out.
I didn't ask is because
you don't fucking
want
care
to know. No. These again, Chris.
Yeah,
battered them last time. Absolutely battered them. in some regards, you know, we talked about this being this was the most favourable of the draws, pretty much. I think it was this or Ajax were the teams that everyone kind of wanted.
I mean, there was other reasons that people wanted Ajax.
Yeah, absolutely. The away, let's make no bones about it. Good away, that, I'd imagine.
Everyone goes for a week.
Yeah.
Everyone's like 2 days to board.
It takes 40 minutes on a flight. I don't know why you're going the 2 days before. Got to make sure of them flights. Oh, them flights booked up really quick. You could walk there the day before if you left. It is the favourable draw. We were made up to get Porto. It should be mentioned, I think, straight off the bat, though, that if people expect this to be the same game as last time, they might be in for a bit of a shock. It was an incredible performance away from home last time. We absolutely blew them off their own park, completely out of the blue. It might well go that way again, but I have a strong suspicion this is going to be a much more difficult.
No, for me, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking to myself, listen, you know, there was all records that they had on the go when we went there last time, and they didn't concede many goals, and they still don't now, to be fair. And obviously, they're in a massive title race with Benfica and stuff in the Primeira Liga or whatever it's called. But now they'll be looking at it and going, this is about pride. You know, we were absolutely smashed on our own turf last time, and we need to go out there and prove that it was a one-off. So Porto will be looking at this, and it'll be retribution for them. That's what absolutely they'll be talking about on Porto Fan TV or whatever it is. And Liverpool have got to know going in there that we won't be afforded the same opportunities, I don't feel, as we were away from home. Obviously, in the home game, I think we played a little bit within ourselves, knowing that the tie was done. Porto will be coming over here looking to try and get something, and we're a good enough side that even if they played their best, I truly believe that Liverpool can still go through.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's interesting because I think going back and looking at both of those ties last season, I don't think either of them really tell you how this one's likely to go. Obviously, it's a year and both teams have changed from, you know, in some cases dramatically since then. You know, the first game we did, it was a perfect storm,
yeah,
a perfection from Liverpool, yeah, that blew them off the park. And then, as Chris kind of says, the second leg at Anfield, which is the one that you should be able to hold up and compare. Yeah. Like we rested Salah for that. They rested players, they put a weakened side, yeah, out. So, you know, we've got to go with this. We've got to forget any notion that this is anything less than a very, very big, very important, yeah, game of football, and put our best foot forward for this one.
Well, definitely, it's all about the two teams that come up on the day. But, you know, obviously it is good for us that we did thrash them last time at their place. But
that's a fear factor, you know, in their
exactly. So, you know, then, but they are going to have looked at that game and they're going to think, do you know what, we really don't want that to happen again. We don't want to be out of it by the time it gets to the second match. We want to actually give Liverpool a proper go this time. And of course they do. But like you said, Liverpool fans shouldn't be taking this game lightly just based off last time's performance. Listen, it's happened thousands and thousands of times over thousands and thousands of teams where they've beat a team and then they've got beat.
Yeah.
And we can't be looking at just the last game as the way that we're going to win. The way we should be looking at it if we were to win is this season, we're a very good team. We're better than we was last year. Mm-hmm. So we still have a good chance of beating them 5-1, 6-1, whatever score.
Yeah. It's one of those games, isn't it, Ross, where look, us talking about it's not going to make Liverpool or Liverpool fans whatever guard against complacency any, but it is one of those where I hope we treat it with the respect and the seriousness that it deserves, because this is it. This is the business end of the season. You know, we are, 180 minutes, hopefully no more, away from a semi-final again of this competition. You want Anfield to be big on Tuesday. You want it to be massive. You want it to be a massive contributing factor. I don't think it's going to be in the same way that maybe Roma was last season or Man City was, which is a bit of a shame. But hopefully, we've seen it, nothing else. Even in some of the games that you'd expect the atmosphere to be a bit crap, it's actually been pretty good in this last few weeks.
I think it'll be decent because I think there's... Yeah. Compared to last season, we're on a roll in the league as well. Like the field goal factor around at the moment is ridiculous. And then obviously the win at the weekend, like after that, just kind of push them on from to Tuesday and onto Sunday again. I think playing at home is an advantage this time, where I think I've always liked the nostalgia of, Anfield second leg. Everyone kind of prefers that. Whereas this time it's like, you can set a marker down in the league, in the tie now and say, go for it, go hell for leather. But we can use that 5-0 motivating factor for us as well, and to say actually, we're capable of beating these.
Absolutely. Question for you, and I'll go to Chris with this after you, Ross. Is this still a free hit? We thought about Bayern Munich as being a bit of like a, it was a welcome distraction from the pressures of the Premier League. Is it still that to some extent?
Yes and no. I say yeah because obviously, again, we're doing so well in the Premier League. You can say, we've got the Champions League, but there's always that. But I think the fact that we've got Porto, I think it makes it less of a free hit. You're playing, a Barcelona or a team that you kind of go, we kind of expect to, have a decent game against them as well as Porto. But, everyone wants Porto for the fact you think we're going to beat them.
Yeah.
I think if we lost to them, then it wouldn't become a free hit then.
No, I think that's
it. It's not a free hit for me. Yeah. I mean, Liverpool are so close to a Champions League semi-final, and then you can see, because you can see the route to the final as well, this makes this game massively important. What you can do, though, is you can lay a marker down in this and almost try and get into the same situation as we did last time, mm-hmm. where, come the second leg, if we've got a big win, then you may be resting a few players.
Yeah.
And then after the Chelsea game, that could be a big important rest to push on for the league before the Champions League semi-finals. But no, this is not a free hit. This is all about Liverpool going for the double now. And that's what this Liverpool side will want as well.
I completely agree in that regard. And I think it's made trickier by it being a, in inverted commas, easier team, isn't it, James? Because you can't, it would be embarrassing or whatever, but you can, if it's a Barcelona or whatever, you can be at your absolute best and lose that game. Now, that's still true of Porto, but there's a reputation that goes with it, is that Liverpool are favourites for this.
Yeah.
They're expected to win it, which means that, it's a game that Liverpool need to make sure that there's no complacency.
Yeah, well, I've said this in some of my videos. Liverpool need to be aggressive. They need to go into it and be very, very aggressive. It's so important that we go into every game. Against Southampton, it took us a while to get into it, but when we got our goal, we was aggressive from then on. We got the 3 points. That's how we need to be in every game for the rest of this season.
Yeah.
No different for this game. Doesn't matter if it's the Champions League, whatever, if anything, that should make you more aggressive, because this is what Liverpool love. We love the European nights. We love making history happen and stuff like that. It's just important we go out there and show we want to win this. And it doesn't matter who we face, whether it's Barcelona or if it's Porto, we've got to go out there and we've got to show we want to win it this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to let you stop us.
There's an important thing for me in the first leg, being at Anfield, in that, we know what Porto and their stadiums like on a European night, and it was fantastic. Even at 5-0 down, their fans were singing so loud and stuff. They don't actually know what an Anfield night's like.
Yeah.
Because they didn't experience that last season because of the way that we played them. So their team might have played our 11 players before. They'll be fearful, of course, of the front three who all scored in that first leg. Obviously, Mane gets the hat-trick, but they haven't felt the power of Anfield. So us as fans need to be there to show them that and put the shits up them from the way it goes, to be honest with you.
Have you seen the team that we put out in the game at Anfield last year?
No.
Friggin' hell. I mean, it's mad that we're only talking a year on. The back five.
Carrius.
Right back.
Gomez,
right back. Centre-halves.
Lovren.
Matip. Left back.
Moreno.
And it's an interesting conversation because obviously we know Robbo's banned for this. That's a big decision looming for the manager, that, isn't it, Chris? Because I think there's a really obvious answer, and his name's James Milner. But Sean Moreno on the bench for Southampton at the weekend, so he's there. He's been there. He's been in and out the squad. Played in this game last year, as we said, albeit caveat of it not being quite the competitive tie that we were looking for. Jurgen Klopp has a habit of doing things that make us all go. Particularly with players that we think are shit, etc., etc.
Yeah, Milner, please. it's as simple as that. Look, I'll be looking at the weekend's game just gone in the Southampton game, and the fact that Milner came on at right back for me is ideal. In that I thought whoever was going to play left back was going to come on at left back, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But because they didn't, because of the way that the game ran out, Milner coming on at right back, I think, is a little step towards Porto. In that, I know it's right back and it's not left back, but he's done it recently. Mm-hmm. When was the last time Alberto Moreno got a game of footy? That's, you know what I mean? And then is it going to be Milner left back, or could Trent move across to left back? Joe Gomez is there as well. Just anyone, please, other than Moreno.
Yeah, everyone in agreement on that? Or anyone want to make a case? Anyone going to bat for Albie Moreno?
Nope.
Snides. Look at him. He's there. He turns up every week. Pulls his
back. You back him up.
Thing is, though, if Klopp trusted him, he would have played more by now. No, and he hasn't. You can't throw someone in, like Chris just said.
I completely agree, by the way. Yeah. But what I'm kind of saying is that there's always something in every starting 11 that makes people's heads roll on social media. It's almost guaranteedly going to be Alberto Moreno starting this game, by the way, so everyone prepare themselves.
I'm not preparing myself.
I'm not preparing myself either.
So if you're not going to prepare yourselves, you just prepare to deal with the reality of it when it happens?
Yeah.
Okay, you just deal with that when you get
there. That's what I've done for 17 years. I'll continue.
Okay, cool. I can understand, and I think everyone would be, there would be a few jaws dropped, a few deep sighs and eye rolls at the very best if Alberto Moreno gets into this team. But I think the Milner thing's interesting, isn't it? But the, you know, it's worth highlighting Milner. I think he's done an admirable job at right back, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I think the timing of the Milner substitution, Ross, was as important to how he played that game as anything else. Milner coming in to a team that's basically blown themselves out and just having to do a lot of winger play, you know, doing the stuff that James Milner's done as a career, is a different game to him being a fullback in a big European tie from minute one.
Yeah, but he's done that before the whole season that he played left back. You know, he's the experience that he's got. I think you need in the Champions League. He showed that last season. I think he's defensively he'll be sound, but that's the concern, isn't it? If Moreno plays, then he's fine going forward. But he can't defend, and he's susceptible to a brain fart, which no one wants. Mm-hmm. But you know, Milner's just going to shore things up and guide people through the team. I don't think the defence trusts him either, because if you're playing Matip and Van Dijk, and then you're playing Moreno, who's not played for ages, then they don't know Bully Woldy through training. But in a game, like, you could have one eye on him, I think, because I certainly would.
I'll say this: James Milner doesn't let you down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm not saying the other thing for that statement. Yeah. Because I'll leave that there. It's what you don't say.
Yeah, no, listen, Albie, I've had a go.
But interestingly, right, if Alberto Moreno is to start, I think James Milner plays the left of a three-man midfield to cover for him.
I think that's really interesting. That's the big conversation, because I'll be honest, prior to obviously starting to gear up toward this, I'd not been thinking too much about it, but I was thinking about Southampton and about how Wijnaldum looked very much like he's a lad who could just do with a week off. He could just do with not playing football for Liverpool for a bit. And I wonder, James, whether that might inform a decision or two, because look, we're not short on midfielders at the moment, which is great. You know, Naby Keita getting a full 90 at the, on Friday is a big
Hendo
help.
Playing the 8 as well.
Hendo playing a more offensive role, absolutely. Adam Lallana having game time recently. It definitely gives us options to cover for Gini, but that might inform our thinking slightly on left-back, because if he wants Milner in midfield, then he can't play Milner at left-back.
Well, I think actually, now that you mention it, that's probably a big important factor on who does play left-back, actually who plays left centre mid.
That's because, why I said it.
It's actually why I said it. Just saying.
Come on, Paul. Can't be taking the credit. We'll see how, Paul. But, I do think Milner starts left centre mid, then Moreno 100% starts, but the way I do want to see Wijnaldum play again. I think, he has played a lot this season, but I look at Wijnaldum as one of those players that you do need in your team, someone who will play every game when you're asking him to and put in 100% effort, which he does. And he just brings a certain different quality that any other player who could play in that position does. And I think he's just so important. And when I talk about being ruthless and being aggressive towards the opposition, I think he's very important in that, as he's someone who's important to get the team forward.
And let's not forget,
stuff like that.
Jürgen loves him. If he's knackered, it's because he plays loads of games, and he plays loads of games because the manager chooses to play him in loads of games, you know. And I don't know whether that's... My only thought on that is maybe... I talked a lot all season about how the World Cup has an impact on fitness levels, particularly at this part of the campaign. Wijnaldum had far more rest the most, and I think he's naturally fitter than a lot of our lads. He's absolutely banging the prime of his career, isn't he? But I do wonder whether this is that point where now he's almost been sacrificed because he's been the one most capable, but that's why we might see a bit of rotation, so this could well be the game when he drops.
Has he had any injuries lately, or like any niggles in training?
I've not heard anything in recent weeks. We know he had that big illness, didn't he, in like January, where he missed a couple of games and he lost like an amount of kilos, which could be a big amount of kilos or a small amount of kilos. I don't know, because I am still imperial when it comes to weight. Hashtag, Brexit. I think he's fine. I just wonder whether he's just reaching the limit of his
Coach. I think if there's no problems with his health or any injury problems, then he absolutely plays. I think it's important that we have our best players playing out there, and I think he's one of our best players.
Anyone got one eye on Chelsea on this one?
Yeah, no? That's why I'd rest Gini. I think I felt like 7-8 weeks now I've been saying he needs a rest, particularly Southampton. He didn't go missing. I think the midfield was unsettled with Keita going in there, and for him and Fabinho kind of like dragged out of a position. Andy was tired as well, but I agree with you what you're saying on Gini. That's why I'd play him on Sunday, because Keita's not going to play on Sunday, I don't think. I think Keita's really important to start again. Now he started a game and scored.
Yeah.
Keep his confidence up and give him a run in the team, and then drop him on Sunday.
Well, is it Milner and Henderson, Chris? I mean, they couldn't have made a stronger case for their inclusion coming off the bench against Southampton. Absolute game changer.
Yeah, it's true. And listen, the midfield that I'd have is probably Fabinho, Henderson and Keita, for the same reasons. You know, I'd like to see Wijnaldum play against Chelsea. But what we've seen really is, you know, Keita normally plays that left-hand side when he comes in, and he's very box-to-box. But Henderson coming in and playing the eight in the way that he did, and obviously getting on the score sheet himself, changes things a little bit for me. And I think if Milner's to play left-back, I think you're okay with Keita ahead of him, because he's so disciplined. He knows exactly when to bomb forward and when not to bomb on, and he'll be okay with Keita there. But that right hand side for me, with Trent and Hendo and Salah, is probably where the game will be won if it goes with that team.
Anyway, before we carry on, Chris sat down with Melissa Reddy with the Newsroom podcast on the redmentv.com this week. Have a listen to this.
For me, and I've said this a few times this week on various different shows and stuff, it's not just about Liverpool anymore either. I think back to that Bournemouth game where they beat us from a losing position. I think back to games where we've been ahead. I think back to 13-14, even before Jurgen Klopp, where, you know, we've been goals up and Cardiff come back and stuff like that. But there was a thing in the opposition's mind where Liverpool can crumble here. Now we've somehow managed to completely flip that on its head. So we're going, and a team's going in the last 10 minutes against Liverpool, and they're not thinking we can get something out of this game. They're thinking,
shit, we better be careful. They've scored the most late goals in the league with 20 this season. We need to be careful. And Liverpool keep having making a habit of that. And they've just flipped that entire... That was a 15, 20-year psyche of something that Liverpool did. And it's gone. It's completely gone.
Yeah. Jürgen Klopp called it that self-fulfilling prophecy that, you know, Liverpool were a little bit brittle and they just expect to concede and expect... You know, that frantic final minutes where the opposition are clawing into their lead and suddenly it's a draw or a defeat. Or and it's interesting, working with other clubs allows me to come out of the bubble, because I think often when you do just Liverpool, you're only focused and everything is driven by a Liverpool voice or a Liverpool perception. And when you go out of that and you speak to, you know, other backroom teams, other managers, players... And when you look at how they view Liverpool, it's extraordinary, because, you know, what you say, they don't know how to beat Liverpool anymore. There's no soft centre. You can't try and bully the defence. You can't work harder than the midfield. You can't hope to greatly restrict the attack. You know, the park bus... doesn't particularly work. Liverpool have found differing ways of overcoming that. And I think back to the start of the season, and teams would, because there was Virgil van Dijk, look to bully Joe Gomez, and they were getting no joy. And so they stopped trying to do that. And then they tried to isolate Trent Alexander-Arnold as a weakness, no joy. So every kind of tactic so far hasn't really, you know, proved fruitful. Mm-hmm. And I would say where Liverpool have dropped points, it's been more because of themselves rather than something great that the opposition has done.
Fantastic. Get involved. TheRedmenTV.com. Sign up. It's free for the first month. So we want to get that full, incredible podcast with the wonderful Chris Pajak, and let's be honest, the even more wonderful Melissa Reddy. Then go over and get involved.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ross.
Yeah.
You've definitely got Milner left back.
Yep.
Who's your midfield three?
Fabinho, Hendo and Keita. For the exact same reason that Chris said before, and I've said about resting Gini. I think he just gives us a bit more energy in midfield. And then obviously, again, one eye on Chelsea. I think Gini comes back in for that. And then obviously you can put Milner or Henderson, depending on what happens on Tuesday. The defence is where I had a problem, because I was kind of debating whether to rest Matip or not. Mm-hmm. For someone who's very injury prone, you know, he's played a lot of football and he's been fine so far, but with Gomez being on the bench, I was tempted to play him. and the block run as well. But then again, lack of game time.
You can't take Matip out. It'll be like a teacher getting to the summer holidays. They'll just get ill. Yeah. He needs to just keep fucking going, doesn't he? You know what I mean? Just keep playing him in every game.
Yeah, so
if he stops, he's getting ill. Just keep ploughing him in there.
And that's why I've left him in for that exact reason.
I just wonder whether it's funny, something my dad always says is like, stop changing the back four. You know, we have to make one change because of the left back. Because I thought about this, I thought about Lovren only because watching the highlights from last season's Anfield game, and he was there, he was involved, and it just made me think about him a bit more. And obviously we saw him fleetingly against Southampton as well. It makes sense to get a Lovren in there because you might need him between now and the end of the season, but I just...
And then you're in danger of dropping a Lovren or a Gomez in at Chelsea, which is a huge game.
Mm. Yeah.
Because you can't play Matip. Yeah,
absolutely. James, what have you gone for?
Like the whole 11?
No, give me the midfield.
Oh, Fabinho, Henderson and Wijnaldum. Okay. I just think with Keita having the 490 on the weekend against Southampton, mm-hmm. I just don't see him having another 490 minutes in midweek. I think because the way Klopp usually does, he likes to build players into the team. He doesn't usually give, especially when you're trying to get into the team, he doesn't usually give you back-to-back 90 minutes. So mm-hmm. I think Wijnaldum starts again.
Have you given this that you midfield?
Yeah, Fabinho, Hendo, Keita, and I've gone Salah, Firmino, Mane, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Because, you know, they're the best.
Yeah,
just all of them.
So yeah, I feel like you got a segment in this part, right? Cool. I went Fabinho, Hendo, Lallana for the midfield. Similar with the Keita stuff, yeah. I think.
How is he? Is he okay to play?
I would guess so. I've not heard. No. Otherwise, what would you think?
Well, he got injured in the warm up for the last game, which is why Keita started, or just before the warm up or something, wasn't it? So, I don't know whether he's. I'm sure it was just a knock. It wasn't like a big injury or anything like that, but. Obviously a consideration for the manager.
Yeah, my thinking is very much that if he is fit and available, it's the Keita thing for the weekend. The big one is we've all thrown Henderson in. And I think fair, because I think, his performance absolutely warranted it.
Yeah.
But we've seen them two rotated, you know, a lot this season. Chelsea's a big game. I wonder whether, you know, I think we all think he's a shoo-in because of how good he was and, you know, we'll see him in the eight. And Henderson's thought about having spoken to the manager about being able to do a job a bit further forward. I think Klopp has even said, though, it doesn't mean he will. You know, there's every chance here that Henderson comes straight back into the six for this game, because I don't think Fabinho had a particularly good game on Friday by any stretch. And with a big game looming at the weekend, he'll want to keep someone. I reckon he might want to keep one of them fresh. It's a very easy. I think the vast majority of people watching will have put both of them in the midfield as well. But interesting to see whether he does something different. Let's have a look at the other games then. Obviously, Spurs City on the same night as well.
That's reasonably large.
That's a pretty big game of football, that, isn't it? Brutal, we're all hoping for. An absolute brutal game of football. I see Kevin De Bruyne apparently saying that the new stadium is not going to make a big difference in terms of atmosphere for them. I mean, fair play for having the bollocks to come out and do that. But
it's still no Troy Deeney after yesterday's game.
That was brilliant yesterday.
What a legend!
Yeah,
he got interviewed on the pitch afterwards, and he said, "Fair play to the Watford and the Wolves fans. It was well louder than the day before when he was talking about the City Brighton game."
He's going to have an amazing podcast when he retires, isn't he? Old Troy Deeney, it's a shame almost that we're not going to get to watch that game, because it's one of the few games that I actually, you know, City games that I'm happy to watch with a little bit of interest. Wednesday, Ajax, Juventus, Man United, Barcelona, which is obviously the one that we should be watching with the most interest, because the one that most directly impacts us. What are our thoughts on these ones, Ross?
Just Spurs and City, just kick the shit out of each other. I'll be happy with that.
Yeah,
be fine.
I've got no problem with City knocking Spurs out of the Champions League, provided that
Juve will beat them.
Do the business in the league. Yeah, against them, to be
fine with that. I just want someone to give them a game. Mm-hmm. And I think Brighton was a little bit easy for them, as is most games that City play. But Spurs, again, I think it's a free hit for Spurs, because no one expects them to get this far, and they haven't got anything to lose, and they need to concentrate on getting top four again.
The thing that would absolutely do my head in is if Spurs, because we've had a couple of times this season where we've, like Fulham is a great example. Fulham gave us a real game. And then turn up to Man City and we're just like, there you go, there's your 3 points. Thanks very much. Thanks for visiting. If Spurs just turn up and just, you know, just lift the skirt and give them the goods. Like, you know what I mean? I just can't. It happened too often. But it happened too often. Like, you mean, I want Spurs to be. Spurs are boss. Spurs are a really good team, really well organised. Some fantastic players you can call from. Chris, I just don't want. I can't.
Just save for the league game.
No, but I want it to be a physical.
Okay.
But batter them, give them something. You know, they can go toe to toe with City and get beat. Because City are much better than Spurs. But at least.
Try.
Spares you up, like, you know.
Oh,
a good thing, like, you know. Man United, Barcelona.
Right. Barcelona to win 3-0. Ajax to beat Juve 3-1. And Spurs City 2-0.
Okay. Have a bit of that.
Yeah.
Any takers on the Man U Barca stuff? I think Barcelona are going to absolutely.
Yeah, I do, yeah. I think they're going to be in trouble, to be fair. I think Barcelona got a good run of form, and the wheels have fallen off all these. Bus or bike,
whatever. Who would you rather play out of United
Barca.
Than Barca?
How are you dealing with the stress of playing Man United?
I'd rather play Man United because I think Man United are a much worse team, but I like the idea of Man United getting absolutely dicked everywhere by Barcelona.
I know.
But then again, you know, we thought that was going to happen with PSG, didn't we? And they obviously pulled fat out the fire there. Yeah, it is a tough. Ultimately, there's no easy. There will be no easy games for Liverpool between now and the inevitable. I'm not going to say that loud. right, score predictions for our game: Liverpool Porto. Ross
3-0, 3-0 by half time as well, so we can actually enjoy a game of football rather than.
Sad, James.
4-0.
Okay.
3-1 to Liverpool. We go a goal behind again.
Okay.
Ooh. Lovren's not there to deflect one over the bar and send us on our way like last time.
2-0 to Liverpool, but I think both goals will come in the second half. I think it'll be another one of those tight affairs. They'll have a couple of opportunities.
Marnie to score?
Just almost guaranteedly. Yeah.
He's got ridiculously high percentage of goals in the knockout stages of the Champions League. You know, 69% of his Champions League goals have come in the knockout stages. I think it's something like 9 of 13 goals have all come in knockout football. So if you're a betting man, don't do that because I've just ruined it for you.
Well, can I just say something? That this is my case, rested on the table.
About Sadio Mane, by any chance?
Yeah.
Funny that.
Basically.
Good, isn't he?
Yeah, nice. He's all right.
It's very good.
The best in the world.
Fantastic. We've not really talked about Porto at all. I can't be asked. They'll probably play 4-4-2. They've got Casillas in goal and they've got Pepe at the back, which is a sight to behold. So be aware of a major cases of shithousery. Musa Marega
didn't play Casillas last year, did he?
No.
Did he not come on?
Yeah. He played Anfield, not the first leg.
Yeah. There you go.
Why was that?
Because they're already out, really, weren't they?
Yeah. So they just wanted to play like a second team.
But why did he play in the second leg then?
Because they were 5-0 down.
Was he the backup at the time? Was he?
We destroyed that goalkeeper.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
In that game. I don't think he played. I think I'm right in saying he didn't play the rest of the season, but there you go. Again, who knows? Who's asked? Let us know your thoughts. Preferred 11, score predictions in the comments section. Thank you very much, gents. It's been an absolute pleasure. We'll be back post-match. See you there.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere.
acast.com.